listening to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Greetings, 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 everyone. It's your boy Freddie here with another episode of Freddie in the Field, coming to you live from Line Hotel, Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Jack, how you doing over there?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
You were at Vegas like last week or 2 weeks ago, right?
Of all places, yes.
How was it?
It was Vegas.
Did you win big?
No. The same company that runs the Line Hotel, Sedell, has a new property called the Nomad out in Vegas, so they had a little opening party. So,
all right,
the team was out there for that.
All
so,
right, yeah. Yeah, sounds like fun, no doubt. All right, we have another special guest in studio with us today, Christina Ortique. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
So, Christina is with the Alliance for Media Arts and Culture. More specifically, she runs a program that they have called Arts to Work, which, correct me if I'm wrong, it is an, you basically run an apprenticeship program for people that are creatives, basically.
That's correct. Arts to Work is the first federally registered apprenticeship program through the Department of Labor's Office of Apprenticeship, and it is specifically for right now filmmakers and content creators, but we will expand that to other areas of the arts as well.
All right, so how does the program work if someone is an aspiring filmmaker or someone that works in film and arts that wants to get into this program?
Yeah, so we are not quite launched yet, but okay, we will launch in by probably second quarter of 2019.
Okay.
But essentially, we'll have a website, and anyone who's interested can reach out to us through that website, and they would apply, and they would tell us what exactly they're interested in doing. So as of right now, under the Department of Labor's program, we are registered for the digital video editor position and the multimedia producer position, but we will expand that to include audio engineer,
all right,
digital archivist, including game design, coding, cinematography, animation, as well as new media design director. So we will expand it as opportunities come to us, but the idea is that forever, filmmakers and content creators had nowhere to go to get jobs. And so we wanted to make sure that career pathways are available for people like yourself,
okay,
and others who want to have at least a 9-to-5 job where they can earn a salary, get benefits, but also have time to do their own creative projects as well. So while we will obviously go to film and entertainment industry, journalism, we'll also go to the Kaiser Permanentes of the world and Under Armour and other organizations like that, where they will have media departments, because this is the digital generation. There are plenty of opportunities out there, and we want to really tap into that now. The biggest thing we've noticed is that 9 times out of 10, people who are being hired, even for film, look like the CEOs or what have you, and there's not enough diversity and opportunity for others. Generally, internships aren't necessarily productive, and they don't necessarily mean employment. So we want to change all of that and provide opportunities for people to actually work for a living, have a sustainable career.
Now, you said apprenticeship, not internship.
Thank you,
so
yes.
I'm assuming that these are paid, this is a paid program with a person that's working as an apprentice.
That is the most important question you've asked. Yes. Yeah, so this actually means employment.
Okay.
The apprenticeship portion is simply the training that you do. But the moment that you show up on day one to begin the apprenticeship, you are an employee of that organization. And that continues throughout your journey there. So for the first year or 2,000 hours, you will be working as an apprentice under a supervisor or a journey worker who's experienced. And through that time, you will get pay bumps and promotions. But ultimately, at the end of the year, you will be employed. You will continue to be employed, assuming all goes well in the apprenticeship program. And you just continue on as a journey worker yourself.
Okay. So you said the apprenticeship programs last 1 year?
Correct.
Okay. And then afterwards they're basically an employee for the company?
That's right. That's right. Unless they screw it up, they're employed, yes.
All right. And the first class that you're planning on, I guess the first
cohort. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many people are you thinking are going to be part of this program?
As many opportunities as we can set up, because obviously I've met, so I, my background is finance, and for 25 years, I'm actually a CPA licensed in Maryland, and for 25 plus years, that's what I've been doing, working with organizations on SEC filings. But this whole space and film and storytellers and all you fantastic creatives out there, there are just so many creative people that can jump into an apprenticeship today. And so that doesn't necessarily have to be somebody at a university. It could be somebody who's been working on this for a very long time and just simply does not have the credentials. That's the other beautiful thing about the apprenticeship. You don't have to have a college degree. You just have to have a high school degree or GED.
All right.
Yeah, and then just have the mad skills that you need to do a great job. But then we also have a pre-apprenticeship program where people who don't quite have the skills can be enrolled in programs so that they can get ready.
Oh.
And so there's the apprenticeship program, but there's also the pre-apprenticeship program. And that helps beef up skills prior to being placed into a position to be in the apprenticeship program.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So are both, I guess, is the pre-apprenticeship program run through Arts to Work, or is does Arts to Work part partner the person with another company that does the pre-apprentice training?
Yes. So the pre-apprenticeship program, we are building.
Okay.
The So there are all kinds of apprenticeship programs. There are all kinds of pre-apprenticeship programs. Generally, people think about construction, plumbing, electrician, think the trades, manufacturing. But we're building this in the creative space. And because we're the first one to actually be federally registered, we're running with it. So we have, through the Alliance for Media Arts and Culture, it's a network of organizations across the country in 25 states with thousands of members, hundreds of member organizations. Of those member organizations are also community-based media arts organizations that can very well be the training centers for our pre-apprentices as well as the apprentices. So there's so much opportunity. We're in the process of building a program in Chicago as well as Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana. So, and we'll be working with various other organizations to build those type of pre-apprenticeship opportunities.
All right. So here, Chicago and New Orleans?
Correct. And beyond. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Up for to start.
To start.
Because we're also in California.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to be everywhere, basically.
All right.
Yes.
Great. So you said you have a finance background in accounting?
Yes.
What made you want to do the big switch?
The question is, why was I an accountant in the first place?
Okay.
No, I went to James Madison University. Uh-huh. I went to, before that, John F. Kennedy High School. And accounting just came very easily to me in my senior year. So I thought, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, everybody's looking for that thing. And so I went to JMU my freshman year, first semester. I knew I didn't like accounting. I took a psychology class, and my dad, when I went to him and said, Dad, I want to change my major to psychology, he was like, no. So I ended up being an accountant, and I've been doing that for over 25 years. I've always loved the arts. And it was actually at GMU when I took my first visual arts class, and it stuck with me to this day. I visit all the art museums I possibly can. Whenever I travel out of the country or to any other state, I always have to visit the art museum there. And then I've also been a huge film person, too. I'm a cinephile, I guess is what they call it. And so it is just amazing when I met Wendy in Oakland, California last year when I was living there, that when she told me about this program, I was like, that's it, because that's what my heart wants to do. And so therefore, I will do that.
And Wendy's the person that runs the Alliance for Media Arts and Culture.
Thank you. You're such a good interview. Yes, Wendy Levy is the executive director of the Alliance for Media Arts and Culture, and she's just brilliant. I mean, one of the things, the Alliance for Media Arts and Culture has very many initiatives, including Arts to Work. Mm-hmm. And so of those, she's also doing this amazing thing with the Color Girls Museum in Philadelphia, where they're making it more of a virtual experience. So she is just doing everything possible. She runs Hatch Labs. I mean, there's a whole series of things that she's into, and you almost can't get her to stop, because if you bring her a good idea, she's going to work on it. She's amazing. She's Actually, a filmmaker herself, and she's taught film. She submitted films to Sundance, and she's worked with Sundance. So she's just an incredible woman and is just always willing to take on mentors and just loves working in film in general.
Now, you had said when you met her out west, I believe, right?
Yes.
Now, you lived in the Bay Area,
I believe, for
a couple years?
About 2.5 years, yeah.
All right. And were you still an accountant out there, or did you relocate out there to basically start, head up, or work with the Alliance for Media Arts and Culture?
So, when I first moved out there, I was working as a consultant and then stayed on when I became really interested in fintech, which is financial technology. So I was working for a company out there, and that's when I met Wendy and came on back to D.C.
All right. And so do you still work in the financial tech realm?
Not at all. No. No.
And so how long have you been back here in the D.C. area?
Almost a year.
All right.
Almost a year.
And you said you went to Kennedy.
I went to Kennedy, but let me just say one more thing. When I moved back here, it was because of Arts to Work. Wendy and I agreed that, number one, she's on the West Coast, so it would be great to have a presence on the East Coast. But, of course, we're everywhere in between. But also so that I could be closer to the Department of Labor. The Alliance for Media Arts and Culture also partners with National Endowment for the Arts and other organizations in the D.C. area. So, obviously, with me being here, it's a lot more convenient, and it allows me to also build the network on the East Coast, which I'm so glad because there's a huge network in media arts here that I didn't even know about.
Definitely, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
So you're a native Washingtonian.
I am. I was born at DC General Hospital.
Okay. And you went to Kennedy.
I did go to Kennedy High School.
Shout out to Montgomery County.
All right.
And you said then you went to James Madison.
I did.
Yes. And that's like Harrisonburg?
Harrisonburg, Virginia. That's right.
Yes. Which is like halfway between Roanoke and Front Royal or Manassas or whatever.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. What was that like?
I loved it because at the time, way back when, it wasn't as large as it is now. And there was a really strong Black community on campus. So it was a fabulous exposure to just college life, to academics, but also obviously to social life. Like I said, it was pretty cohesive. Black community, and then all of the frats and sororities were there and everything. Even though I didn't pledge, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Okay. All
Very
right.
good. Yeah.
So you said you're a self-proclaimed cinephile.
That's right.
Yeah. What are some movies that we need to check out right now?
Oh my goodness. You put me on the spot. Okay. So there is one out with Martin Luther King. HBO did this documentary called, I think it's called King of the Wild.
Yes.
That one is just knock your socks off. I mean, what it does is it offers you some insight into the man, not just the movement, but to who he really is. And you forget that there are human beings who are really putting themselves out there to do some of the things that seem virtually impossible and obviously maddeningly dangerous, but important. So that was just a fantastic film. I saw that in Sundance this past January, and I was fortunate enough to meet Andrew Young, who was on the panel. So that was a great opportunity. I can't think fast enough. Because I've been going to March on Washington Film Festival, Black Bottom Film Festival, DC Black Film Festival. I just went to the African American Museum Film Festival.
That's where we actually met.
That's where we met. So I've seen so many incredible films. Like, there's no favorite. And sometimes the one bad thing about that is that all of these amazing films, you can't just go right out to the theater and see them.
Yeah.
You have to follow these film festivals or wait for them to be released. One fantastic film that I saw was Maynard, which is about the first Black mayor in Atlanta. That one is actually on Netflix now. So
okay.
I think that's a great one to see. And I'll go ahead and give a shout out to Netflix because, number one, we'd love to work with them. But number two, they have amazing cadre of various documentaries on Blacks in general that is just incredible, from Nina Simone to Jimi Hendrix to John Coltrane. I mean, there's just so many. Nat King Cole.
And the Quincy Doc.
So Netflix has got it going on as far as building out their documentary.
Yes, they've definitely thrown a lot of money at being one of the leaders in documentaries, for especially for video on demand,
and
but just
are,
in general as,
they
a,
are.
As a network.
I mean, so is PBS and all the work that they do too in their master series. But yeah, I'm just, so right now, you know, I grew up watching a lot of fiction film, and I was all into Star Wars and, you know, everything else. But slowly over time, my taste in film kind of matured significantly, and I was watching a lot of foreign film and then ultimately documentaries. So for me, I'm not an artist, but yet, but cinematography is important to me, beautiful cinematography and also musical score. So anything that's very beautiful to the eye is what I really love to see. And then obviously with documentary, the ability to tell the story as authentically as possible is just amazing. I took one documentary class, or sorry, filmmaking class, at Docs in Progress in Silver Spring as okay. part of this journey in the film world. And I have so much respect now for people who actually create film because...
You see how everything that goes into it.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
It's
from the creativity, from the story, the actual story itself, from being able to put it out on a storyboard, to be able to edit, the musical score, all of that is just unbelievable.
A lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts, a lot of time, a lot of extremely talented people that have to do all that work. So I have such great admiration and respect for those people.
So you said yet in terms yet. Of putting together a movie or being a cinematographer. Have you ever given any thought to possibly you yourself doing one of the pre-apprenticeship programs?
Maybe. You know, that's a great idea. I would do it, but my thing right now is administration, project management, because I want to make sure Arts to Work is as successful as possible. I do not think I have the patience to do what filmmakers do. It is unreal what they do.
And you have to manage a lot of personalities, a lot of schedules, a lot of different people from differing fields almost.
Yeah, and the vision and just bringing all that together. But more importantly, just the ability to tell the story through moving images is just, utterly incredible. I personally love photography. So if there's anything I would love to master is photography. So I may not be able to put a bunch of pictures together to make a film. I love. My eyes love being able to see images.
So you could be a location scout.
That would be great too. Or even a cinematographer.
Okay.
Yes.
That too.
Yes.
All right. So are you ready for the questions?
I probably not, but let me have it.
All right. So it's just three questions that I ask all the guests.
Yes.
That come on. The first one would be on your phone. What is an app that you would recommend that people who have a smartphone would add to their phone?
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking you were saying something else. I love, first of all, I'm a Facebook like crazy person because I keep my calendar, basically my what I'm going to do there. But I really like Meetup too.
Okay.
Because that way, that's how it gives me the exposure to people and to things that I would never do. Like one of the things that I did was incredible. There's a group called the DC Art House. And they exposed me to this old film, old German black and white film that was actually a silent movie. And it's known, it's very famous because it was one of its kind in science fiction, but it's called Metropolis.
Okay.
So I would not have seen that film had I not met up with the Meetup group. But anyway, so really love it.
Where did you see the film?
It was at the old Naval Hospital on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Like Pennsylvania Southeast?
Yes.
By the Navy Yard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Over that way, yes.
Oh, wait, down Barracks Row on 8th Street.
Yes.
Yes, across from the barracks or something.
Exactly,
like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, the venue is cool too, but the actual opportunity to see this film, I would have never seen it had it not been for this Meetup group.
So definitely, definitely. And what was the name of this Meetup group?
DC Art House.
DC Art House, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Second, what do you appreciate the most about DC?
You know, I'm not a person with many words. I love to talk, but I'm not of many words. But D.C. is unspeakable. There is a certain magic about D.C. There's a certain, like, rhythm. There's a certain heartbeat in D.C. There's a certain je ne sais quoi about it that's just so real for me because it's in my blood, you know. And I didn't realize how important and how deep these feelings are for D.C. until I actually moved away. So I lived in Dallas, Texas for a little while back in the late 90s, and then I lived in the Bay Area. Okay. And just seeing the differences, then I realized, oh yeah, I'm a D.C. girl, you know, because there's nothing like the go-go here. There's nothing like the vibe in D.C. There's nothing about the feeling of Northeast, Northwest, you know. There's nothing on this planet like it. And every time I move away, I come back. Yeah. So I really don't know how to describe it, but all I know is I love it.
Yeah, I love it. 100%. Yes, yes. I spent some time away from D.C., and it's really when you go away that you really appreciate what D.C. has offered. And it's kind of like you can't put your finger on it, but it's something that, you know, is special.
Extremely special.
And it's not, we're not just saying this because we're Washingtonians. You know, these are people that we've met also that have come and visited or even come to live in D.C. and realize that there's something here that they really appreciate.
I think that's a great point because it's such a transit. I mean, there's so many different people who come here. It's so diverse in every way as far as ethnically, culturally, just perspectively. All walks of life. I mean, it is an incredibly diverse place, and that's great. But sometimes when you go to places that aren't as diverse, you forget how amazing D.C. is, and you quickly come back because you never want to not live in a diverse space like this.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Last question: words of wisdom. What are your words of wisdom?
Yes.
I guess be the question.
Yeah, just feed your soul. I mean, there, life goes on. We have to pay our bills. We have to get up in the morning and do the kind of our routine things. But in the end, make sure you have balance in your life and you're feeding your soul constantly because it's just so important, regardless of who you are or what you do. But some people are extremely lucky to do things for a living. They make money doing the things that really feed their soul. And some people, you know, my old life, when I was working as an accountant, it wasn't feeding my soul and I wasn't taking the time I needed to really get that balance. Now I know how important that is. So for me, it's just whatever it is, hopefully it's a very safe thing, but whatever it is, just constantly feed your soul as much as you possibly can and surround yourself in places and people who are positive and help you feed your soul every day.
That's great. That's great. It's a great place to end it. Do you have any contact information or website or social media that you want to share?
Sure. I will share the information for the Alliance. So it's www.thealliance.media.
Okay.
not.com.media. Uh-huh. And then my address, my email address is arts2work@thealliance.
All right.
Yeah.
And is there any Instagram or Twitter or anything like that set up right now? Okay. No worries. All right. So thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Of course. Of course. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Freddie in the Field. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.